Then I want you to go with me to Revelation 12 and 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Revelation 12 and 12. And while you are finding that, I will sing one of our old Pentecostal songs relating to the message. Put your time in. Payday's coming after a while. Put your time in. Payday's coming after a while. Put your time in. Payday's coming after a while. Put your time in. Payday's coming after a while. I've been tempted. I've been tried. Been to the water. I've been baptized. Stepped in the water. Water was real cold. Chill my natural body, but not my soul. Put your time in. Payday's coming after a while. Put your time in. Payday's coming after a while. Put your time in. Payday's coming after a while. Put your time in. Payday's coming after a while. Praise God. I trust that you would be at Ecclesiastes 3 now. I shall begin reading at verse number 1. And it read like this. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to moan and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. The title of our lesson today is His Time is Running Out. Now let's go to Revelation 12, 12 for that. Revelation 12, 12, last book in the Bible. Revelation 12, 12. Revelation 12 and 12. And it read like this. Therefore, rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time. The word wrath here means great anger with vengeance. So the devil has come down with great anger and vengeance because he knows he has a short time. The devil knows he has a short time. What about you? How much time do you have Are you ready for the Lord? We should know that he's coming soon. He's coming back just like the angel said, the way that the people at that time saw him go up, he's coming back in like manner. He's not coming back for the world this time. He came for the world the first time, but only a few accepted him. So I want you to think on those two questions. How much time do you have, and are you ready for the Lord? Now, Solomon has said, for everything, there's a time and a season. If you miss your time and your season, then you would have to hope your time will come again. For some things, you only get one shot. It doesn't, you don't have two or three shots. For some things, you only get one shot. We are told that the season of the youth is from 4 to 12. They are considered to be young, inexperienced, immature, having a new and at one point a clean mind. Oh, Lord, too bad they couldn't stay that way. For the most, this is the best part of their life. I can remember years ago working at a school that we were remodeling, an elementary school, and I used to see the kids running and playing in the schoolyard. They seemed to be so free of obstacles in their life. They seemed to be just enjoying themselves so much. Much different than they are when they reach high school and going on to college. The season of the adolescent is from 13 to 21 for the female and 13 to 25 for the male. During this season, they are supposed to receive and learn that which they will become as adults. They are to learn how to treat and care for their mate and their family. If they miss their season, they, as well as those that they are associated with, will suffer. When I was 14, my mother grabbed me one Saturday and took me into the kitchen. She said, I'm going to teach you to cook in case you get one of those women that decide, when they get mad at you, decide they're going to punish you and not fixing you in the food. So I was glad that she did that, because those days did come. Not with Pastor Earthen there. I know she want me to tell you that. It wasn't with her. But they did come. But it was no problem to me, because during my season of learning, my mother taught me what I needed to know. Unless you utilize the right season for the right time, you will not accomplish a fruitful life. Now, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3:2, 3:3, 3:4, 3:5, on through to 3:8, everything in its time and season. We know that spring is the time people start to sow. They would prepare the field and they'll sow their seed for their harvest. So when the summer heat comes, that which was sown have their roots deep in the earth, and not, and if not, they will dry up and die. So you have to make sure your seed is sown in the spring of your life, that it will be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Everything has a time and a season to run their course. Even the devil, when that time comes, is over, that's it. The devil knows he has only a short time, and he's mad. When people want to make a strong point about being mad, they will say, mad as hell. Now, hell can't be mad because it's a place. But those that are there can be. Those that are in hell are mad. They are mad, first of all, because they didn't listen to Pastor Butler. Mad because they didn't hear the prophet of God. Mad because they allowed the devil to tell them, there's plenty of time. You don't have to get saved now. There's plenty of time. Let's look at that picture. He has but a short time, and he knows it. But he's telling you, that little imp that's sitting on your shoulder is telling you there's plenty of time. Let me say that again. Satan has but a short time, and he knows it. But he's telling you there's plenty of time to be stupid, to enjoy yourself in the world. Don't get saved now. You'll miss out on the fun. What fun? Drug habit, becoming an alcoholic, becoming a teen mother. So many other things that destroy your life. Fun. You call that fun? Now he's mad as hell with God, with you. And especially if you're living for God, he wants you to go to hell with him. He wants you to be tormented in the flame like he's going to be. He wants you to be with him in outer darkness. So he tells you there's plenty of time. And when I think of that, I think of the young lady that I told you about in Florence, South Carolina. The one that I ministered to, the one that I witnessed to, the one that I showed that she needed to be saved. And she realized she needed to be saved. But she said, not today. Not now. And I asked why. And you know what she said. She said, I have not finished sinning yet. So she didn't want to be saved now. She has some more sinning that she felt like she needed to do. Well, that too reminded me of an old gentleman that had gotten saved. I guess he was about 84. And he got up to give his testimony. And he said he's glad that the Lord has saved him, because he don't run the street at night like he used to. He don't jump up and down and kick his heel like he used to. Truth of the matter is, he couldn't do it no way at that age. But he was glad that God had saved him. I was glad that God saved him too, because he might have had a heart attack trying to do those things. He knows it. The devil knows it. What about you? He knows his time is running out. Now, James 4, verse 13 through 14 says, look here, you people who say tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we're going to a certain town. We will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what will happen tomorrow? For your life is like the morning fog. It is here a little while, and it's gone. What about your season for learning? For learning the word of God? The Bible tells us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. He wants you to remember him when your testimony is valid. Amen. This elderly gentleman had a testimony, but it was not valid. Because, as I said, he couldn't do those things that he testified to anyway. God says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Some weeks ago, when I was in Tampa, Florida, I saw some young people, say maybe 8, 9, or 10, shouting, praising God, speaking in tongues, praising God. Some others I saw out in the community handing out tracts. One that really impressed me was a young lady. She looked like she might have been 10, and she was witnessing to a lady in a wheelchair. She took her hand and she told her, has anybody ever told you that God loves you? And she went through the script with her, and she got the lady saved. So that really impressed me, for I know there is no age that God use people, use young people. There is no set age. I remember also one time I was in Augusta, Georgia, and while I was there, I cut on the TV, and I saw this young fellow. I'm going to say he was about 5, and he was standing on a milk crate behind the pulpit, and he was preaching. If he had been in the Word Church, he'd have been walking up and down from one side to the other. But because he was in a Baptist church, he stood on a milk crate. You see, they don't allow people to walk up and down when they're standing in their pulpit. They want you to stand still, as they said to me, stand flat-footed and give the word. No such thing. You walk up and down and give the word. So he was standing there giving the word. I was impressed at that time because I was just a teenager. So God does not have any set age or any set time to use you. When your time comes, God will use you. Your season for sowing that word you received, for passing out tracts, for sowing for radio broadcasts that reach thousands of people, your season is now. Your season for sowing that radio broadcast is now, because the Lord said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. About 95% will never go into all the world, but you can go in all the world by your donation to those that are broadcasting in all the world to get that word out, and you have fulfilled your word that God has given you. What about your season for gathering in the harvest, your harvest of souls? I can imagine all the people there in heaven looking around, saying, that one's there because I witnessed to her, or he's there because I witnessed to him. I gave her the word. He's there because I stopped by to minister the word to him. You don't know how many would be there because you minister to one. I often think of Dwight Moody. He's the founder of Moody Bible College in Chicago. Ladies stopped and witnessed to him, and he got saved. Everybody that he taught and brought to the kingdom of God will not only be on his slate, will be on that lady's slate also that witnessed to him. Because you support Pastor Butler, everybody that I witness to and they are saved, not only will be on my slate, will be on yours too. Getting ready to close now. Finally, your season for reward. You know your pay time. You know how excited you get when payday comes. Well, Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." So you need to put your time in, because payday is coming in a little while. When is that little while? For some, it could be today. For others, it could be next week. Still yet, next month. Some next year. But rest assured, it will come, and it will not tarry. Payday is coming. The first thing we will do when we get to heaven is to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Not to see if we are lost, because we're already in heaven. If you're in heaven, you can't be lost. But you stand before the judgment seat of Christ to see how you would be rewarded, to see just what you earned while you were here on earth. You go through, or to see your works go through the fire, to go through the flame. If they burn up, they will be wood, hay, and stubble. But if they go through the fire, it will be gold or silver. Some people would be just as proud as they can be while standing there. But others will stand there with their head hung down, because being there now, they will see they could have done something, they could have done more for the Lord. They could have done something just like these others that's getting this reward. They would see that now that they are in heaven. People look back sometime and say, "Oh, I could have did that." But when they were going through it, during their season, during their time, "Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that." Full of excuses. "I just can't do that because of so-and-so." "Or I can't do that because of so-and-so." Excuses are so small that when you try to hide behind them, you can be seen. Secondly, excuses are profit setters. They are profit setters. You are prophesying your future. When you say, "I can't do this," or "I can't do that," that what you say that you can't do will become what you said. It will become what you said. So some will be standing there with their head hung down. But because there will be no sad people in heaven, after everybody received their crown, their reward, and we lay them at Jesus' feet, and we crown him Lord of Lords, King of Kings, then Jesus will come and wipe away all tears. Your soul winning time is now. The scripture says to work while it is day, for night is coming and no man will be able to work. When your eyes close for the last time, your night will be here. What will you do in your soul winning season? What will you do in this season of soul winning? Would you make excuses? I just don't know how. I little afraid of going out there. I don't know how to minister to folks. Well, if you don't come to New Life, I can understand you not knowing. But if you come to New Life, you will know. You will know how to minister to the lost. You will know how to win souls. You will know that we have tracts. You don't have to buy no tracts. We have tracts to give you that you can give out. So what will you do in your soul winning season? In your season of giving. Your season of sowing your seed. Your season of giving a kind word. Your season of bringing souls to Christ. What will you do? His bowed eyes closed.